Good morning to all of you listeners out there. It is Sunday morning, May 28th, and I have survived the graduation of our daughter and the graduation party, which was last night. It went really well. We had so much fun. There was a bonfire and badminton and s'mores and cupcakes and all the party food. And really great conversations happening with people I haven't really had the chance to talk to in a long time. And I know our daughter had a great time. A lot of her friends from her digital arts class showed up and they really enjoyed playing badminton and just, hanging out and celebrating all of their accomplishments. So that feels great to be complete for us. It's bittersweet, of course. And there were some moments of tearing up, and that mostly happened at the actual graduation at the University of Dayton Thursday night. It's been a journey, and I've wanted to talk about our adoption for a long time, but I decided that other than what you've listened to in my memoir, if you've listened to the earlier season of this podcast where I share how we ended up adopting, I didn't feel right about sharing too much about it, especially because of the legal aspect of it. But now that our daughter is 18, I want to share with you some things that I've learned along the way. And today I am going to talk about the actual legal process and how it's unique because we are related to our daughter. She's a family member and we're related in a specific way, which I'm not going to, get into because that's private, but there's certain laws for certain types of relationships in the state. And so we were able to file an independent adoption and we did not have to use an adoption agency, which was great. We didn't want to use an adoption agency. And if I even need to explain why, you probably haven't listened to this podcast before, but I do not promote any kind of adoption agency for any reason, but we weren't even required to use one, so it didn't even really come up for us. We interviewed several attorneys in the area. We didn't like any of them. There are no attorneys in Dayton. At least at the time we adopted 18 years ago, there were none that actually specialized in adoption. There are several attorneys that do adoption. A lot of attorneys do adoption as part of family law, but nobody who specialized in the family type adoption. Most kinship families don't necessarily adopt. They get legal custody. There's several forms of legal guardianship that they can take. Some of them are just simple things like power of attorney forms. And that's something Ohio can help if you're listening and you have the situation and want to get custody of a family member. Ohio can help you with that. There's a link in my last podcast to them. Go check that out. In any event, we gave up on the attorney, and because I have worked in law for many years, I decided to file this petition pro se. Pro se basically just means you're filing without an attorney. And that was really scary because if I screwed this up, I would have no one to blame but myself. Not only that, it could ruin the permanency of our daughter's situation. So I did a lot of research and I got a packet that they gave us at the clerk's office at the probate court. And they can't give legal advice, but they were supportive. If I had something missing in any filing that I did, they would give me the form or give me a little hint. And it ended up working out great. I got the biggest compliment when the social worker who did the home study, she said to me, "You did a better job with this filing," or "You did a better." It wasn't her, I'm sorry. It might not have been the social worker. I'm mixing this up. It was one of the clerks. Said you did a better job at filing this adoption than any of the attorneys. And I'm like, well, because I cared. I mean, it's my own family. It's our situation. So that to me was appreciated that she shared that with me. And then the social worker was really supportive too. And, you know, they consider adoption a happy event. And so we got a picture with the judge and the little gavel. And I'll go ahead and post that photo for y'all at my blog. I'll post a link in the show notes so you can see it. And I'll also post a graduation photo of her. So we're very proud. We're very happy. And at the time we made the adoption plan, we had no idea that it would turn out the way it did, which is kind of like any adoption. You have all these ideas and plans of how this is going to go, and some things get turned on their head. And the biggest one for us was we fully expected her biological mom to be in the picture. And it just turned out that wasn't the case. We haven't seen her in probably 17 years. And our daughter, her name's Marilyn, does not even know her. So that was an unexpected twist that we didn't see coming. And then another part of this is that her biological father and his wife came into her life when she was around 6. So we've been doing an open adoption with them and their whole entire extended family ever since. And it's been wonderful. Her biological father, and now she has a brother, and his wife and his extended family all came to her party last night. So that was really great. It was just, they've been very supportive. A lot of them came to her choir concerts, and they've just been great at the holidays. It's been so, I don't know, it's been beautiful to watch for me because, you know, someone growing up in a closed adoption, not ever having that opportunity to know my biological family, and for her to not only be being raised by her maternal side, but to also have her paternal side also. It's, I don't know, it to me is the only way that adoption can work. And I'm not saying that open adoption is a panacea, especially when you're adopting a stranger's child or a stranger's child has to grow up without any family whatsoever. I think that's a different animal altogether. But if you're gonna have an adoption, there's always more room for more people, more love, more support, and assuming the person isn't dangerous or toxic, I think all family members should be welcome. So that's what I wanted to share with you all today. The legal process was scary for me, but and I didn't get a lot of sleep in the 6 month waiting period. So Ohio, you can file the petition as soon as you get the birth certificate, but they set the final adoption hearing date out 6 months. So we filed in January and didn't have a hearing date till June of the year after she was born. So she was born in December. So we filed very, very early on. And at that time, in the county that we live in, it was the only infant adoption, family adoption in the county. It's pretty rare. Most people, if they're going to adopt a relative, they do it when the child's older. But we did it when she was, you know, we've had her since birth. And so that made our situation really unique. And I would like to discuss it more, but I don't want to violate my daughter's privacy. So if you guys have any questions, if you're an adoptive parent listening to this and you want to ask a question, and I will be happy to discuss it on the podcast. So please reach out to me at theadoptedgenealogist@gmail.com. Right now I'm off all forms of social media for the summer. So you probably won't see me on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or any of them because I've disabled those pages temporarily. But I would love to hear from you and we could talk more about this in the future. So I attended a very controversial Zoom this week called Risks of Unlicensed Adoption Brokers in Private Adoption by Kelsey Ranyard. She was the speaker. It was put on by Adoption Network Cleveland. A lot of the people I know in the adoption community were there. And Kelsey works for some California adoption attorneys, which is part of an overall agency that does private adoption. And she was warning everyone about how many unlicensed brokers there are out there that are ripping adoptive parents off. And it's the wild, wild west at adoption. Even more, it's even worse than I realized after being on this Zoom, which I'm gonna link in the show notes because it's been published now. It's crazy. Just watch it. But get your barf bag and keep it close by because it's a lot. And there was a lot of controversy going on in the chat, which I did not get to read because I was on the road watching this or listening. So I couldn't read the chat, but there were a lot of people that didn't appreciate that Kelsey was a little bit foggy. That was the general consensus. That here she is talking about the unlicensed brokers, but she's working for an agency that, as we know, a lot of these adoption agencies do not tell the birth moms the true story about what's going to happen after they relinquish. Not to mention the thousands of dollars that they're making off of adoption. So it seemed a little hypocritical on one level, but on another, I really appreciated all the information she shared. I mean, we're all in different places in our journey. I personally wouldn't work for an adoption agency, but if somebody's going to work in one, I'd rather it be someone who can report back and say, hey, these things are happening. Beware. And, it's good to know what's happening out there now because it's changed so much since I was adopted and even when we adopted our relative. It's the wild, wild west, as I said. So check that out. I'm going to post it in the show notes and I'd love to hear any feedback that you have about it. So my good friend, Pamela Caranova, the president of Adoptees Connect, has a Substack called The Real Adoptee Moxie. And I wanted to share with you all about that. You can be either a free or paid subscriber. I'm a paid subscriber, but you don't have to be to get her articles. And I'm going to post this particular article because I thought it was fantastic. I read a lot of her stuff, and she blogs at PamelaCaranova.com. But this particular article really stood out for me because Pamela has, like me, we've been on similar trajectories with leaving religion. And she wrote an article called When God Calls You to Adopt. And I really, really appreciate this article because it's addressing adoptive parents who say, it was, God's will that we adopt and we were called to adopt. And, I believe that they're sincere in that belief because I also had a similar experience when our daughter was in utero. So I understand that. I understand that feeling or belief that this is the path. We use our intuition, we pray, we make decisions, and some of those decisions are emotional, and some of them are spiritual, and some of them are all mixed up in between. Logical, practical. We use a lot of different senses in our decision making, and so I totally get it when an adoptive parent is like, when God called me to adopt. However, the downside of this is that the churches preach more adoption is better. And it gets very convoluted really, really fast, doctrinally wise. Is that a word? I don't know. Anyway, it becomes this, the Bible says we should blah, 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 and there's a lot of scripture that relates to that. And if you want to learn more about that, Andy Stanley and I cover that in our cult, Adoption is Cult-like, over at The Adoption Files. I'll put a link. There's several religious article or religious episodes where we talk to different people about what the Bible says. One in particular is Greg Gentry. Check him out. There's a part one and two. So it gets very convoluted between God called me to adopt and my church told me to do it. And she really covers a lot of these types of this thinking and what it really means and how she's reframing it. And I just love it. So anyway, check her out, join, send her cups of coffee. She's doing a lot of great things for the adoption community, the most of which, not the least of which, is Adoptees Connect. It's been a great resource for thousands of adoptees across the country and the world. So check Pam's writing out if you are inspired to. So this week I have a chance to watch the story about Kamaya Mobley. She was kidnapped from a hospital in Florida by a woman who had had a miscarriage and stole her away from her mother, very similar to Paul Fronczak and the Lost Sons. She disappeared to South Carolina. She prepared a fake birth certificate and raised Kamaya as her own. The now adult abducted, and for all intents and purposes, adopted child who wasn't legally adopted but was raised as an adopted child. Her real name is Alyssa, and her mom, who kidnapped her, is Gloria. And I think the reason I wanted to talk about this story and urge you to watch the documentary, it originally aired on Lifetime, but now it's streaming on Hulu. I'll post a link in the show notes. The reason I wanted to discuss this is because I was so keenly aware of how the interviewers, the families, everybody, including the judge, wasn't even focusing on what happened to the quote adoptee. And they were focusing so much on the actual crime itself and not how Kamaya viewed her mom, the one who raised her, as the psychological parent. In fact, the term psychological parent was never mentioned. Alexis Monago was the name she went by for all of her life. And her mom broke the news to her when she was 18, when she was looking for a job, and the employer would require all those important documents. So I guess Gloria, that's the mom who raised her, decided to tell her the truth. Apparently, they had a good relationship, and Alexis had a positive childhood despite how she got there. I have a lot of sympathy for the birth parents. I do. It's so wrong what happened to them. And it's obvious that the birth mom, I think her name's Shannara, was still in a considerable deal of pain, even 18 years later, and literally said to the judge that she thought Gloria, the kidnapper and adoptive mom, deserved the death penalty. I thought that was kind of insane, but kidnapping is wrong, and she did suffer greatly, as did the father of the child. The thing that really bothered me is the birth mom's lack of understanding that Alexis saw Gloria as her psychological parent, loved her, did not want her to go to prison for a long period of time. Ultimately, the judge gave her 18 years, even after Alexis asked for leniency. Then I watched Alexis through the rest of the documentary do the typical adoptee people pleasing routine, trying to please everybody. Her adoptive family, who now, were super upset because they realized that she was kidnapped, because none of them knew. And that puts their relationships into questioning. Like, are we still a family now that there's no blood connection? Of course, you're still a family. But they, had to work through all that. And then the birth family, it just amazed me. Now, this wasn't the siblings, this is mainly the birth parents, had this belief that Alexis should just see them as the true parents and erase Gloria from her mind. And her birth mom actually said to her from the stand, now, Alexis is sitting in the very back of the courtroom with her attorney for protection, right? She called over to Alyssa and is like, "You're my daughter, you're our child." And she called out her birth name, and I was just like, why the dramatics on the stand like this? I mean, it really bothered me that they did not understand her ongoing attachment and love for Gloria, the woman who raised her. And again, it's both and, it's not either or. You can both be upset, disappointed, and shocked and angry that you were kidnapped, but at the same time, you can still love the person who kidnapped you. And that's the part that I was hoping that they would do a better job at showing. There was somebody who commented in the documentary about how she felt about her mom, and I was really glad that that was put in there because I really was feeling that throughout the whole movie, that this girl has been put in the worst position, and everyone expects her to basically choose sides now. And they expect her to want to punish Gloria, to not love Gloria, to only love Shannara and the birth dad. And she mentioned that her biological father was much more understanding about it. He didn't showed them having a conversation about her continued visits and contact with Gloria, and he said, "I don't really like it, but I support her." So, I totally understand why the birth parents would feel extreme amount of hatred or unforgiveness toward this woman who stole their child. I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, this is not Alexis's fault. And I was reading between the lines when Robin Roberts was asking her some really hard questions, and she mentioned her siblings, and I thought, this is why, this is the reason she's in reunion. It's her siblings. They're so much alike. They look alike, they act alike, and there's a kind of connection with your siblings that you just can't get from your birth parents. I've seen it over and over in reunion. It's the siblings a lot of time as the connecting factor. So, I will be interested to see how she grows and develops. She's still very, very young, and how this will pan out in the future. I did hear her birth mom saying that there are times that she wished Alexis, or Kamaya, which is her birth name, would have never come back to the family. She actually said that to Robin Roberts, and I just thought, wow, this can't bode well for your future relationship with your daughter. I can already tell there's conflict between daughter and birth mom. And if the birth mom continues to invalidate her feelings for her psychological mom, Gloria, then I just don't think it's going to work. I think that she needs to respect those feelings. She doesn't have to like the woman, but she needs to respect those feelings. And I fear for Alexis that she's just, her own feelings are getting lost amongst everybody else's strong feelings, the media's opinions, the documentaries, effect on other people, the need to sensationalize. Now, granted, had they not sensationalized, I wouldn't even have been aware of the story. So I think there's a good balance. There needs to be a good balance between making people aware of the story and trying to sensationalize it for profit. Anyway, it's worth a watch. Would love to hear any feedback. You can always email me at lindgrub104. Oh, sorry, not that one. The adopted genealogist at gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening, and I will chat with you all next week.